Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Mike Hempel. Iran hit a Saudi refinery on the Red Sea and set Qatari liquefied natural gas facilities and two Kuwaiti oil refineries ablaze, sending international oil and gas prices soaring. The strikes followed an Israeli attack on Iran's main natural gas field the previous day. AP correspondent John Gambrell reports Gulf nations are rattled by Iran's attacks.
Right now, the Gulf Arab states are weighing what to do. We heard from Saudi's foreign minister overnight who said that any trust that had with Iran was gone now. So we don't know if that means that the Gulf Arabs are going to allow the Americans to potentially use their military bases to launch attacks on Iran, or if that could mean the Gulf Arab states engage in combat directly with the Islamic Republic. But all signs point to further escalation in this war that so far shows no signs of stopping.
Iran's intensifying its attacks on its Gulf neighbor's energy infrastructure as it hits back following an Israeli strike on its main natural gas field. Thursday's strikes set Qatari liquefied natural gas facilities and two Kuwaiti oil refineries ablaze, and the United Arab Emirates has shut down one of its gas operations. Iran also hit a Saudi refinery on the Red Sea, marking a major escalation in the Mideast war that's sent global fuel prices soaring. The price of Brent crude oil, the international standard, is now up more than 57% since Israel and the U.S. started the war on February 28. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
An Israeli attack on Iran's South Pars natural gas field Wednesday prompted the Islamic Republic's president to warn of uncontrollable consequences that could engulf the entire world. And Tehran followed up with strikes on its Persian Gulf neighbors, hitting gas facilities in Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. Earlier, a source told AP the U.S. was informed of Israel's planned strike, but did not take part. On social media, President Trump wrote Israel would not attack South Pars again, but warned if Iran continues striking Qatar's energy infrastructure, the U.S. would retaliate, and in his words, massively blow up the entirety. I'm Ben Thomas.
AP correspondent Byron Tao reports that in the middle of war, the U.S. State Department is understaffed, demoralized, and struggling to carry out its basic functions.
More than 4,000 employees have left the department since the beginning of 2025. And interviews with officials say that these losses are having a profound impact on the department's ability to deliver services to American citizens and to advise policymakers in the midst of what is a growing war in the Middle East.
The latest World Happiness Report 2026 says heavy social media use has contributed to a stark decline in well-being among young people. It found that the effects are particularly worrying among teenage girls in English-speaking countries and Western Europe. The annual report was published by the Well-Being Research Center at the University of Oxford.
The World Happiness Report 2026 says the heavy use of social media has led to a stark drop in well-being among young people, especially among teen girls in English-speaking countries and Western Europe. The report, published by the Well-Being Research Center at the University of Oxford, says Finland is the happiest country. That's for the ninth year in a row. And other Nordic countries, Iceland, Denmark, Sweden, and Norway, are in the top 10. The report says the well-being of young people under 25 in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand has dropped significantly over the past decade. And it suggests that long hours on social media is a key factor in that trend. I'm Donna Ward.
This is AP News.
Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it year after year. Every American Giant piece is made in America and designed to last. No exceptions. The result is durable clothing that become part of your life. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life. The American Giant Classic Full Zip. Save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout.
A Rhode Island hockey team has rallied to win a state championship after a fatal ice rink shooting.
Colin Dorgan has helped lead his high school hockey team to a Rhode Island state championship after losing his mother, brother, and grandfather last month in a shooting at an ice rink. Dorgan scored a tying goal with about 30 seconds left in regulation in Blackstone Valley's eventual 4-overtime Division II title game victory Wednesday. Coach Chris Labrizzi says the team participated in counseling as players considered whether they could come back and finish the season. Ultimately, every player did return, including Dorgan. Police have identified the shooter as Robert Dorgan, who died from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. I'm Geffen Coolball.
Pope Leo is signaling strong endorsement for one of Pope Francis's most controversial policies on marriage and divorce. Leo penned a special message today, marking the 10th anniversary of Francis's 2016 document, The Joy of Love. I'm Mike Hempen, AP News.
Attorney General Pam Bondi and Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche went to Capitol Hill to offer a closed-door briefing on the Jeffrey Epstein files. They were seeking to quell bipartisan frustration over the Justice Department's handling of millions of documents related to Epstein's sex trafficking investigation. But Democrats walked out in protest and said they will press to enforce a subpoena for Bondi to appear before the House Oversight Committee for a sworn deposition next month. Representative Maxwell Frost explaining, "We do not trust her." Committee Chairman James Comer accused Democrats of political grandstanding. Ben Thomas, Washington.
America's top intelligence official is deflecting questions about just what intelligence she gave President Trump before the Iran war. At a Senate hearing, Democrats like Mark Warner pressed Tulsi Gabbard over what she told the president about the attack's aftermath.
Did you brief the president, if he starts a war of choice, that the likely result would be that Iran would strike adjacent Gulf nations and close the Strait of Hormuz?
Gabbard sidestepped.
I have not and won't divulge internal conversations.
John Ossoff got a similar response when he asked about the president's stated motivation for striking Iran.
Was it the assessment of the intelligence community that there was a, quote, imminent nuclear threat posed by the Iranian regime, yes or no?
Senator, the only person who can determine what is and is not an imminent threat is the president.
Ossoff accused Gabbard of evading so she would not have to contradict the president. President Trump's pick to head the Homeland Security Department is urging Congress to set aside partisanship and fund the department. Appearing before fellow senators at his confirmation hearing, Oklahoma's Mark Wayne Mullen says the political theater over DHS's weeks-long funding lapse must end.
What we do know is that we're playing with fire.
The president tabbed Mullen to lead DHS after turmoil under Kristi Noem's leadership.
My goal in 6 months is that we're not in the lead story every single day.
Mullen is a staunch Trump ally who would be entrusted with carrying out the president's mass deportation effort. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Air traffic controllers will now use radar to ensure that helicopters maintain a safe distance from arriving and departing airplanes in the wake of last year's fatal mid-air collision near Washington, D.C. The Federal Aviation Administration says that recent near misses show that previous guidelines for pilots to maintain visual separation between helicopters and airplanes have failed to provide adequate protection around busy airports. The new rules apply to more than 150 of the nation's busiest airports. The January 2025 collision between an American Airlines jet and an Army helicopter killed 67 people, making it the deadliest plane crash on U.S. soil since 2001. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
One of the most immediate impacts of the Iran war has been pain at the pump. Crude oil, the main ingredient in gasoline, is facing ongoing supply chain disruptions and production cuts, with Iran effectively halting nearly all tanker movement in the Strait of Hormuz. The AAA Auto Club says the average price of a gallon of gas is now $3.84. Just before the war started, it was $2.98. Gas hasn't cost this much since September 2023. Prices could worsen if the war drags on. I'm Mike Hempen.
The U.S. has cleared the way for Venezuela to sell more oil as the Iran war boosts prices. The U.S. has issued a license that lets Venezuela's state-run oil company sell and export Venezuelan oil to U.S. buyers and on global markets. That move could have the effect of getting more oil into the world market. The Trump administration is looking for ways to ease oil prices that have soared during the Iran war. Separately, the White House said that for 60 days, Trump would waive Jones Act requirements for goods shipped between U.S. ports to be moved on U.S.-flagged vessels. The 1920s law, which is designed to protect the American shipbuilding sector, is often blamed for making gas more expensive. The United States will demand bonds of up to $15,000 for visa applications from more countries. Effective April 2nd, passport holders from 12 countries will be required to pay the bond, which is refunded if the visa application is denied or, if granted, the person adheres to the terms of the visa. After April 2nd, there will be 50 countries whose citizens are subject to the requirement, which was rolled out by the Trump administration last year as it cracked down on visa overstays and, more broadly, moved to curtail illegal migration. The 12 countries include Cambodia, Ethiopia, Georgia, Grenada, Lesotho, Mauritius, Mongolia, Mozambique, Nicaragua, Papua New Guinea, Seychelles, and Tunisia. Haya Pinjwani, Washington.
About 2,400 Kaiser Permanente mental health workers went on strike in Northern California over fears the company will replace therapists with artificial intelligence. The National Union of Healthcare Workers was joined in its one-day strike Wednesday by 23,000 Kaiser nurses. Oakland-based Kaiser says the AI claim is false and that AI will not replace human assessments. Workers say Kaiser does not currently use AI for therapy, but fear the technology will become good enough to make it an attractive option. Kaiser says it has hired more mental health staff and sees AI as a way to support patient care. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A hospital in Florida is suing to evict a patient. The patient in room 373 at Tallahassee Memorial Healthcare was discharged in October. She refuses to leave. The hospital says resources have been diverted from helping other patients because of her occupation of the room. A state judge in Tallahassee has been asked for an injunction ordering the patient to vacate the hospital room and authorizing the county sheriff's office to assist if necessary. The lawsuit doesn't say what the patient was treated for, what her hospital bill was, or how she was able to stay in the hospital for more than 5 months despite being discharged. The patient is representing herself. I'm Ed Donahue.
A Marine Corps investigation found a 1-in-a-million malfunction during a live fire demonstration over Camp Pendleton last October led to a misfire that rained shrapnel on Interstate 5 in California, striking two highway patrol vehicles. But there is no definitive answer as to why it happened during a celebration of the 250th anniversary of the Marine Corps, attended by Vice President J.D. Vance and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. No one was hurt. Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom had called the planned demonstration with live artillery dangerous and unnecessary and ordered I-5 closed, which drew criticism at the time. Luigi Mangione's state trial is scheduled for June, federal trial September. Now his lawyers are asking a judge to move both. He's charged in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. They want the federal trial next January, the state trial this September. Mangione's lawyers tell the judge the current schedule puts him in the position of needing to prepare for two complicated and serious trials at the same time. In court in February, Mangione saying it's the same trial twice. 1 + 1 = 2, double jeopardy by any common sense definition. Julie Walker, New York.
Labor rights leader Dolores Huerta reveals that she was sexually abused by Cesar Chavez after 60 years of silence. An investigation by the New York Times found that Cesar Chavez, the former president of the United Farm Workers Union, groomed and sexually abused young girls who worked in the movement, including the co-founder of the union, Huerta. In a statement, Huerta said she stayed silent for 60 years out of concern that her words would hurt the farm worker movement. She described two sexual encounters with Chavez, one where she was manipulated and pressured, and another where she was forced against her will. California Governor Gavin Newsom, whose state has historically recognized Chavez's birthday as a state holiday, says he's processing the news.
We're just going to have to reflect on all of that and, you know, reflect on a farm workers movement and a labor movement that was much bigger than one man and celebrate that.
I'm Haya Pinjwani.
The nation's largest retail trade group is forecasting annual sales will grow faster than last year, despite uncertainty over the Iran war. The National Retail Federation expects 4.4% growth in annual retail sales to $5.6 trillion. Chief economist Mark Meadows says the U.S. economy has been a bit up and down, but one bright spot is continued consumer spending. But with the war in Iran and surging oil prices, Matthews says the forecast could be revised in coming months. I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks slumped on Wall Street after a report said inflation was primed to worsen even before the war with Iran sent oil prices spiking. That, combined with comments from Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, led investors to expect fewer chances of getting the interest rate cuts they've been hoping for. The S&P 500 fell 1.4% Wednesday. That was its first loss of the week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 768 points. That's about 1.6%. The Nasdaq Composite fell 1.5%. The price of Brent crude rose almost 4% to more than $107 a barrel. Treasury yields rose in the bond market. The yield on the 10-year Treasury climbed to 4.26%. Seth Soutell, New York.
Macy's is reporting stronger than expected profits from the crucial fourth quarter of last year, and comparable sales are up again. The department store says an overhaul of its merchandise and improved customer service is leading to more spending by shoppers. The company, which also operates upscale Bloomingdale's and the beauty chain Blue Mercury, offered a mixed outlook for the year, projecting sales above Wall Street expectations while remaining conservative on the outlook on profits. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolball. Miami of Ohio made a March Madness statement to advance with an 89-79 win over SMU in a first four matchup of 11 seeds. Ian Elmer scored 23 points.
We're not really focused on proving whether we belong, honestly. Everybody in the locker room thinks we do.
Prairie View A&M secured its first NCAA tournament win, 67-55 over fellow 16 seed Lehigh. In the women's first four, Nebraska top fellow 11 seed Richmond, 75-66, and 16 seed Missouri State beat Stephen F. Austin 85-75. UConn Sarah Strong and AZ Fudd headline the women's AP All-America first team. MLB Shohei Ohtani tossed 4 1/3 scoreless innings in his spring training pitching debut for the Dodgers. And NFL, the Eagles acquired veteran backup quarterback Andy Dalton from the Panthers. A landmark new WNBA collective bargaining agreement was reached in principle early Wednesday morning that will give the league its first $1 million players. The deal is expected to greatly increase player salaries, with top stars potentially making a supermax of $1.4 million in the first year. The salary cap for the 2026 season is expected to be $7 million, with average salaries more than $585,000. The deal comes 17 months after the players opted out of their previous agreement and 5 months after the previous deal was initially set to expire, with talks often becoming contentious. The Hockey Hall of Fame says the pucks used to score the gold medal-winning goals at the Milan Cortina Olympics are part of its permanent collection after being donated by the International Ice Hockey Federation. The Hall released a statement about its artifacts from the games a day after Jack Hughes, who scored the golden goal in overtime for the U.S. men, told ESPN he wanted the puck so he could give it to his father. The Toronto-based Hall of Fame says it remains committed to preserving the sport's history with items from Olympics beginning in 1998. I'm Geffen Coolball.
Former reality TV star Jesse Holmes has cruised to a repeat victory in the Iditarod.
You got here first again for the second year in a row. It's not happened often. You made history tonight, my man.
In an interview with Iditarod Insider, Holmes says that he knows that others who've come up with a second win have also had more wins.
I've been chasing greatness ever since the last time I was here. You know, thinking about Lance and Susan, the only two people that followed up that first initial win with a second consecutive win, they also followed it up with three wins, and another person followed it up with four wins. So we're just going to keep chasing those footsteps and trying to push ourselves every day to be better.
Holmes is a former cast member on the National Geographic reality show Life Below Zero. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
EU leaders are accusing Hungary's Viktor Orbán of blocking major aid to Ukraine to score points at home ahead of elections next month. The leaders, gathered in Brussels for a summit, say Orbán is reneging on a deal they reached in December. Hungary's PM says he will continue to block the large package for now.
We would like to get the oil which is our from the Ukrainian as which is now blocked by the Ukrainians. I will never support any kind of decision here which is in favor of Ukraine. Still, the Hungarians are not able to get the oil which belongs to us.
Finland's Prime Minister adds Orbán is betraying his EU counterparts for campaigning purposes. And Belgium and Austria says Hungary must respect what it's already agreed to. The dispute is exposing weaknesses in EU rules that often require unanimity. In Lebanon, renewed hostilities between Israel and Hezbollah and displacement are draining the joy from Ramadan and the run-up to the Islamic holiday of Eid el-Fitr for many. Israel's strikes have displaced more than 1 million people in the country, according to the Lebanese government. The suffering has played out during Ramadan, with scenes of people reduced to sleeping in tents and on the streets or in cars. Displaced people describe numerous hardships away from their homes, and many say they cannot conjure up the spirit of what would have been normally a joyous time. Eid al-Fitr marks the end of Ramadan. Pakistan's announced a pause in strikes against Afghanistan, saying the decision's been made ahead of the Muslim holiday of Eid al-Fitr at the request of Saudi Arabia, Qatar and Turkey. In a statement, Pakistan's information minister, Atullah Tara, said the pauses in strikes on terrorists and their support infrastructure in neighbouring Afghanistan will take effect at midnight Wednesday and remain in place until midnight Monday, adding Islamabad offers this gesture in good faith and in keeping with the Islamic norms. However, he said, in case of any cross-border attack, drone attack, or any terrorist incident inside Pakistan, the operations will immediately resume with renewed intensity. Rwanda's Justice Minister and Attorney General has told the Court of Arbitration in The Hague Britain's new Prime Minister had declared the Rwanda refugee scheme to be dead and buried on his first day in office. The UK then, he says, sought to walk away from its legal obligations. Rwanda claims London still owes about $115 million, but the British government's urging the permanent Court of Arbitration to dismiss Rwanda's claims. Guglielmo Verdurami, a lawyer representing Rwanda, says the UK should shoulder its responsibilities.
But the United Kingdom cannot look at this treaty that creates a partnership just through the prism of its own domestic politics, with Rwanda being little more than an instrument for delivering British policy objectives.
Rwanda says it set up an asylum appeals chamber, created ministerial and administrative structures, as well as preparing reception facilities and incurring significant costs. The case continues. Iranian state television airs live footage of a funeral procession for top Iranian security official Ali Larijani, as well as the slain head of the Revolutionary Guards All-Volunteer Bajish Force and others in Tehran. Thousands thronged to the processional as Larijani's body and his son, also killed in an Israeli strike, paraded past on a bed of a semi-truck adorned with images of the dead. People waved Iranian flags at the funeral. Israel's military killed Larijani in an overnight strike, as well as General Gholam Reza Soleimani, the head of the Revolutionary Guards Badges Force, known for its role in suppressing protests. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.